The Feast of Christ the King. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 23 verses 35 to 43. At that time the leaders jeered at Jesus, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers mocked him too. And when they approached to offer him vinegar, they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there abused him. "Are you not the Christ?" he said. "Save yourself and us as well." But the other spoke up and rebuked him. "Have you no fear of God at all?" he said. "You got the same sentence as he did, but in our case we deserved it. We are paying for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." "Jesus," he said, "remember me when you come in your kingdom." "Indeed, I promise you," he replied, "today you will be with me in paradise."
Jesus has been arrested, scourged, led to his crucifixion place on Calvary, and nailed to the cross. Maria Valtorta writes, "The cross is now dragged near the hole. It jerks on the uneven ground, shaking the poor crucified, and twice it slips out of the hands of those raising it. The first time it falls with a crash. The second time it falls on its right arm, causing terrible pain to Jesus because the jerk he receives shakes his wounded limbs. But when they let the cross drop into its hole, and before being made fast with stones and earth, it sways in all directions, continuously, shifting the poor body which is hanging from three nails. The suffering must be atrocious. At long last, the cross is made fast, and there is only the torture of being suspended. They raise the robbers who, once they are placed in a vertical position, shout as if they were being flayed alive, because of the torture of the ropes which cut into their wrists and cause their hands to turn dark and the veins to swell like ropes. Jesus is silent. The crowd, instead, is no longer silent. The people resume shouting in a hellish way. Now Golgotha has its trophy and its guard of honour. At the top there is the cross of Jesus, at the sides the other two crosses. Half a century of soldiers in fighting trim is placed all around the summit. Inside this circle of armed soldiers there are the 10 dismounted soldiers who throw dice for the garments of the condemned men. Longinus is standing upright between the cross of Jesus and the one on the right, and he seems to be mounting guard of honour for the martyr king. While looking, Longinus sees Mary just under the slope with her tormented face raised towards her son. He calls one of the soldiers who are playing dice and says to him, "If his mother wants to come up with the son who is escorting her, let her come, escort her and help her." And Mary, with John, who is believed to be her son, climbs the steps cut in the rock, passes beyond the cordon of soldiers, and goes to the foot of the cross, but a little to the side, to be seen and to see her Jesus. The crowd showers the most disgraceful abuses on her at once, associating her with her son in their curses. But with her trembling white lips, she tries only to comfort him with an anguished smile that wipes the tears that no willpower can stop. The people, beginning with priests, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians and the like, amuse themselves by going round about, climbing the steep road, passing along the elevation at the end, and descending along the other road, or vice versa. And while they pass at the foot of the summit on the second open space, they do not fail to offer their blasphemous words as a compliment to the dying victim. All the baseness, cruelty, hatred and folly which men are capable of expressing with their tongues is amply testified by these infernal mouths. The fiercest are the members of the temple with the assistance of the Pharisees. Some throw stones, shouting, "Change these into bread, since you multiply loaves." Others, mimicking the hosannas of Palm Sunday, throw branches and shout, "Curses on him who comes in the name of the demon. Cursed be his kingdom. Glory to Zion that cuts him off the living." Another one says, "Don't ruin the cross with the strokes of your head. It is to be used for your followers. A whole legion of them will die on your cross. I swear it on Jehovah." Longinus gives an order, and the 50 soldiers who were resting have come into action. They prick the buttocks of the first Judeans they find. The Judeans run away shouting and cursing, but Rome is the stronger. The robber on the left-hand side continues to insult from his cross. He seems to have summarized the curses of the other people, and he repeats them all. The other robber is on the right-hand side, with Mary almost near his feet. He looks at her almost more than he looks at Jesus, and for some moments he has been weeping, murmuring, "My mother." He says to the first robber, "Be silent. Don't you fear God even now that you're suffering this pain? Why do you insult him who is good? His torture is even greater than ours, and he's done nothing." But the other robber continues to curse. Jesus is silent. He is panting as a result of the effort he has to make, because of his position and because of his fever and his heart and breathing conditions, a consequence of the violent scourging he suffered, and also a consequence of the deep anguish that made him sweat blood. He tries to find some relief by reducing the weight on his feet, pulling himself up with his arms and hanging from his hands. Perhaps he does so also to overcome the cramp that tortures his feet, which is revealed by the trembling of his muscles. The face already has the aspect we see in photographs of the Holy Shroud, with the nose diverged and swollen on one side. And the likeness is increased by the fact that the right eye is almost closed, owing to a swelling on this side. The mouth instead is open, with the wound on the upper lip now turned into a crust. His thirst, caused by the loss of blood, by the fever and by the sun, must be burning. So much so that, with automatic movements, he drinks the drops of his perspiration and his tears, as well as those of blood that run down from his forehead to his moustache. The crown of thorns prevents him from leaning against the trunk of the cross, which might have helped a suspension on his arms and lightened the weight on his feet. His kidneys and all his spine are curved outwards, detached from the cross, from his pelvis upwards. The Judeans, driven beyond the open space, do not stop insulting, and the unrepentant robber echoes their insults. The other robber, who now looks at the mother with deeper and deeper compassion and weeps, answers him back sharply when he hears that she also is included in the insult. "Be silent," he says. "Remember that you were born of a woman, and consider that our mothers have wept because of their sons. and they were tears of shame because we were criminals. Our mothers are dead. I would like to ask mine to forgive me. But shall I be able? She was a holy woman. I killed her with the sorrow I gave her. I am a sinner. Who will forgive me? Mother, in the name of your dying son, pray for me. The mother, for a moment, raises her tortured face and looks at him. He is a poor wretch who, through the remembrance of his mother and the contemplation of the mother of Jesus, moves towards repentance. And she seems to caress him with her kind, gentle eyes. Dizma weeps louder, which raises the mockery of the crowd and of these companions even more. And Jesus speaks for the first time. Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. This prayer overcomes all fear in Dizma. He dares to look at the Christ and says, Lord, remember me when you are in your kingdom. It is just that I should suffer, but give me mercy and peace hereafter. I heard you speak once, and I foolishly rejected your word. I now repent, and I repent of my sins before you, the Son of the Most High. I believe that you come from God. I believe in your power. I believe in your mercy. Christ, forgive me. In the name of your mother and of your most holy Father. Jesus turns around and looks at him with deep compassion. He smiles, a still beautiful smile, with his poor tortured lips, and he says, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The repentant robber calms down, and as he no longer remembers the prayers he learned as a child, he repeats as an ejaculation, Jesus Nazarene, King of the Jews, have mercy on me. Jesus Nazarene, King of the Jews, I hope in you. Jesus Nazarene, King of the Jews, I believe in your divinity. The other robber continues cursing. Some time later, Longinus calls the four executioners and orders them to give the robbers the death blow with a club. This takes place without any protest by Dizma. The blow of the club strikes his knees and then is delivered to his heart. On his lips and in a death rattle, it cuts in half the name of Jesus. In a dictation which applies to all who suffer for souls, Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, The first time my Father, to purify the world, sent a flood of water. The second, he sent a flood of blood. And what blood? Neither the first nor the second flood has availed to make men sons and daughters of God. I would come a second time to die, to save them from an even more atrocious death, but my Father does not allow me to. My love would permit it, justice does not. Oh, if men even now were capable of turning to me who am salvation. I desire nothing but this, and I weep because I see nothing is able to make them lift up their heads to heaven, from which I am extending my arms towards them. Suffer, Maria, and tell the good to suffer, to substitute for my second martyrdom, which the Father does not want me to carry out. To every creature practicing self-immolation, it is granted to save some souls. Some souls. And it is not surprising that those souls granted to each little Redeemer are few, if it is remembered that I, the Divine Redeemer on Calvary, in the hour of immolation, was able to save the thief, Longinus, and very, very few others, out of the thousands of persons present at my death. In a separate dictation, Mary says, "Have faith, be at peace. There is no misery which my son cannot turn into riches, and there is no solitude which he cannot replenish, as there is no fault which he cannot cancel. The past no longer exists once love has cancelled it, not even a dreadful past. Are you going to be afraid when Dismar the robber was not? Love and be afraid of nothing."